I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
News and Lagrimade with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB,
X-Chicken,
Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go.
News and Lagrimade.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. This is New Soundwave 109. This is another good old-fashioned audio-only podcast. Truly a classic. With me this week, Peter. It's a two-man show. Peter Weebum. What's going on,
man? Just chilling, man. Just chilling.
And you're coming live from your phone, which is awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty fantastic, actually. It's working much better than I expected.
2011, people. 2011. hey, so Peter, what are you playing these days right now? Are you still grinding through Zelda?
I am still trudging along. I've been pretty busy, so I actually haven't put as much time in it as I wanted to. But I am going along. The game is still really fantastic. Every time I play it, I keep thinking about what Ender talked about maybe like a couple weeks ago, asking like, hey, do you sometimes just say, oh, I wish I was using an Xbox controller? And the answer still remains no. I mean, The motion control, it's just that good.
Do they keep, as you go along in the game, do they keep adding, like, to the motion controls? Or do you get to a point pretty quick where, like, everything you can do in the game? You know what I mean?
Like, they give you new weapons, like, new items and stuff, if that's what you mean. And that way you can, in the beginning, they give you, like, a beetle, which is, like, a remote-controlled beetle, and you have to use your remote to, like, guide it, you know. And then there's another one where you get a whip now, so you have to do whipping motions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something different. And then I haven't gotten the bow yet, either, or the hookshot, or anything like that yet. I mean, I'm already halfway through the game, and they haven't given you the hookshot or the bow yet. So there's definitely going to be some new movements in that regard. So yeah, so far I haven't felt any staleness in terms of the motion controls.
Interesting, and that's a really good sign too, because that could get really gimmicky really fast if they weren't careful with it. You know?
Yeah, like Twilight Princess got gimmicky real quick.
Yeah.
But this one, no, not so much.
Yeah, I agree. Sounds good. You know what has gotten stale? And then it like freshened up all of a sudden was Super Mario 3D Land. So I was playing Super Mario 3D Land. It is hella stale, like through the entire story mode, because it's all these like recycled ideas. But the it was weird. I don't want to spoil it too much for people, but it was really kind of dull through the entire story mode, the first, you know, like I think 8 worlds or so, but the last battle I really liked. So I won't go into too much detail, but the last battle with Bowser I really really liked, and I was like, oh, that's really kind of cool, that was really exciting, and I enjoyed that. And then the game, of course, like opens up into another set of, I think it's probably around, it's gonna end up being around like eight more worlds that are special worlds, and those are awesome. Those are because they're way crazier than like the normal stuff. So like the first 8 worlds were all like typical Mario stuff. You know, there's just nothing different. It was everything. It was the warp pipes, and you're breaking blocks, and you're turning into a raccoon, and you know you're jumping on
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, all that stuff. You're floaty in the air, coins, all sorts of stuff. You know. But the special worlds just go off and do like whatever the hell they want. So there are worlds like all you're doing is like getting shot out of a cannon from one platform to another. Like you're barely walking or jumping anywhere. You're just like shooting yourself all over the place. And there's levels where the perspective, like the point of view, is really jacked up, and it makes it really like hard to kind of know where you're going. But it's not frustrating. It's just kind of odd and interesting. And so I've kind of turned around a little bit on the game. I'm a little disappointed that the lead up to the interesting levels is essentially the normal game. You know, you have to like work through the whole game to get to the good stuff. I don't know what to make of that.
It's like punishment and then reward, it seems like. No, it just seems like they kind of, you know, tried to go to the the traditional route. It's like, this is what people are used to, so this is what they want. And then they're like, and then at the end, you guys can just do whatever the hell you want. And it seems like that's when they, you know, let their imaginations run wild. And that's, it seems to me, that seems like that should have been the Super Mario game, and they could have just built it as something that you've never played before.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Because, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. This seemed like, the actual first eight levels are essentially just Mario 64 and New Super Mario Brothers kind of mashed together. And then these special areas are, you know, whatever. Like give the developers all the stuff and just tell them to go make something. And they did. And so it's way better. I should mention, we can't mention Mario without mentioning the little merry-go-round that Miyamoto's been on. He was rumored to have retired, and then when that rumor hit the stock market, the Nikkei stock market, Nintendo stock dropped like 2%, like overnight. Yeah. And then he had to go on like a press run telling everybody that he's not retiring, that he's just changing. I guess he's like going to work on smaller projects. I think that's what they said.
Yeah, they said he's going to like, you know, keep doing like the... You know, he's not leaving, you know, he's always had it there, you know, this, don't worry, he didn't say that he was going to leave like now, there's always been a plan for him to leave, obviously, because he's human, so he's not going to live forever, but, you know, right. He's slowly, you know, he's taking people under his wing, he's mentoring them, maybe he'll be less involved in, like, the day-to-day, you know, kind of thing, so they're kind of like, it was definitely like a huge step back. It's like, don't worry, he's not retiring anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely like, he's definitely their Willy Wonka, their Steve Jobs. He's definitely like, when he goes, people aren't going to think, rightly or wrongly, that they can do the same kind of magic. But he hasn't been like a game designer or director in like a decade or something like that. He's been like an executive for a long time.
Yeah.
I know he helped with the Wii's development, like the Wiimote and stuff like that. But it's not like, it's not even like Skyward Sword is a Miyamoto game. He doesn't even like Zelda anymore, I don't think. I don't think he even wants to work on Zelda games anymore. He's just kind of given it to the company to work on.
Yeah. He's definitely not the director anymore. I mean, he's still kind of, I think he provides, like, he's like the producer. He's like the executive consultant kind of guy.
Yeah, sweet job.
Yeah. It's a pretty sweet job.
Yeah, where he's like, you know what? I think you should do this. And I'm going to lunch. And when I get back, you let me know how you made it happen. You know,
yeah,
he's like,
done by the time I get back.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. It's like, I sketched this over my sandwich. I really want to do that. Why don't you guys like work through the weekend on that? Now I'll see ya.
Yeah,
exactly. See you around. Puts on his Mario hat and walks out. Right.
Yeah. I mean, even like Satoru, for the Zelda Skyward Sword, it was like, even like Satoru Iwata was one of the producers.
Yeah. Right. So
and he is the president of Nintendo, so
yeah, so that's some bull. Yeah.
Which means like they just said, yes, make a Zelda game. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, his contribution is like, hey, I want Zelda to still wear the funny hat. Okay.
Yeah.
So now I'm executive producer.
Let's make him wear a green tunic.
Yeah. See, those are the hard decisions.
Radical.
Yeah. See, I'll take that one. I'll take the hit if people don't like that. I'll take the hit.
Right.
Okay, so also this week, actually today, the day we're recording, PlayStation Vita came out in Japan. They actually are expecting big sales. They had originally were going to ship 500,000 units to Japan, and they, at the last minute, ordered 200,000 more. So it's going to come out February here, stateside, for $250 if you want just the Wi-Fi version, or $300 if you want the one that also has a 3G connection. I don't know, Peter. I don't know. I mean, Sony still expects this to do well, at least with hardcore gamers.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Game Boy this year, the 3DS, essentially, it was essentially a failure until they like slashed the price by, God, I don't know, like 40% or something like that. I don't know. I don't see how this is gonna work. I mean, do you still? I don't know. What's your feelings right now?
I was never a big handheld gamer, truthfully. I haven't owned a Game Boy since, the original.
Nice. That, are you serious?
And I bought, yeah. And I bought that when the, I believe the Pocket or the Color, actually, I think it was like the near tail end of the Pocket and the beginning of the Color had just come out.
Nice.
That I bought it on like insane clearance price at Woolworths before it closed down. So I was never really a huge gamer, and it's pretty obvious that, like, I mean, I'm looking at the PlayStation Vita price right now on Amazon. It's $250.
Yeah.
I just bought a brand new cell phone for $250. And it's like, I mean, it's like, okay, I can buy the Vita, which just, I mean, just like plays games and, you know, play some music when I wanted to, but it's, you know, it's dedicated mainly as a video game platform.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then when I buy a cell phone, I've got, you know, all these, you know, different video games. They're coming out with, like, you know, action adventure games now on phones and stuff like that. So that's definitely, I think, an issue as to why the 3DS kind of crashed as well, because it was really expensive. It still kind of is, like $100-some-odd, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you got it, I got one on Black Friday for like $130 shipped, which is really good considering the original price, but still, it's $130.
Yeah.
It's not like something you just like decide to get on a exactly. whim. And I'm sure now it's like back up to like 160 or 170 now.
Yeah. And even if you do even a better comparison is that, you know, the 3DS was $130 shipped. You could have, you know, during that same period of time, you could have bought a 4 gig brand new Xbox 360 for the same price.
Yeah, absolutely.
And instead of using it, and the 3D, regardless of how you play it right now, it's still a gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still like there's nothing really to really push it forward and be like, this is like huge. You know, this is what's going to redefine gaming. It hasn't done that yet. And I think the Vita offers even less in terms of like there is no gimmick. It's just, hey, here's a new PSP. I know nobody bought it last time, but here's a new PSP anyway.
Yeah, I totally agree. No, I totally agree. Like the 3DS that I bought, it sits on its charger right next to my computer, and when I think about, oh, I want to play some Mario or I want to go through a world, I try to go through like a world a day. That's about, I don't know, 15 minutes of Mario, so I'm good. Good for the day. I put it back on its charger right next to my computer when I'm done. So I like sit in my office chair, play a world of Mario, put it back down. I would never, probably in a million years, think to take this thing anywhere. And that tells me that it's not a good concept anymore. That tells me like smartphones have completely surpassed these things, these handheld gaming systems in a practical sense, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Why would I walk out of my place with this giant, relatively speaking, giant, heavy, bulky, portable, and all it can do is it can play games. Yes, it can connect to the internet on Wi-Fi. Yes, I haven't even thought about looking at the browser. Why should I look at the browser? Because my phone, I know, will have a better browser, and it's got a camera. But I know my phone has a better camera too. So
yeah.
You know,
exactly. And you know, neither of us do, but in the age of skinny jeans, you can fit less and less things in those pockets.
That's true.
So people are like, if it fits in my skinny jeans, I'll buy it. But obviously that can't fit. So, but I digress.
Nah, yeah, that's right. And when I'm in heels and skinny jeans, man.
Yeah.
Good luck, buddy. Good luck. But yeah, it's just really weird having like a handheld and like essentially, I don't know. I mean, yes, it's a I would call it a handheld because it's literally a handheld. I wouldn't call it like portable gaming because I don't want to port it anywhere. I don't want to take it anywhere.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't seem like, I mean, it's always on your charger. It seems like it's like, I think, within the next like 5 years, I mean, portable or handheld gaming, like the PlayStations and the 3DSs and stuff are just going to become like a niche market. They're slowly becoming that already. Like, you know, less and less people have it. I see more people on the train taking out their phones than having a DS. Meanwhile, yeah. 5 years, you know, 5-6 years ago, people were, you know, on the trains with a DS or, you know, things like that. And so things are definitely, things are definitely trending towards the all-in-one phone, you know. As the platforms get better, as the phone's processors get better, mm-hmm. you know, they're coming out with dual cores, they're coming out with quad cores soon. You're not gonna have much of an issue to run these fantastic looking games on your cell phone.
Yeah, no, I agree. I would expect at some point, it may be sooner than we think, and I would kind of expect it after the 3DS that the next Game Boy will be a phone. That Nintendo will figure out some kind of agreement with some kind of carrier to get the Game Boy brand onto a phone somehow. You know, they're gonna have to somehow sell this next one as being a good quality phone and a portable gaming system. And the difference will be, of course, the software, that it's gonna have Nintendo first party stuff on it.
Yeah. Or you could, I mean, you know, even it was kind of a flop actually in the States, the Xperia Play.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of a flop.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a kind of a flop, you know, kind of just a little bit. But you know that you can't fault Sony for having that idea to try to re-energize that idea. So they're definitely trending in that, like, they definitely saw that and they said, if we don't do this, we're going to get left behind. This portable thing for us is going to die more than it already has for the PlayStation Portable. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook is making their own phone. Like, what the hell are you going to do? It's just literally like a Facebook phone. But
yeah, that's
they're going to do it. There's a rumor that Amazon's going to come out with a phone. So, you're right. It's only a matter of time before Nintendo says, we're just going to find a good Japanese, like, or, you know, a good manufacturer of handsets. And, you know, they're probably just going to use Android and just be like, platform behind it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of this stuff is already kind of built. It's just them deciding when's the right time, who are we going to partner with, and how are we going to brand it? How are we going to market this thing? And yeah, you're right. Sony had the right idea. They were probably, I guess, too soon into it, trying to do it. But, I mean, that's the way it's going. And I mean, we're in a world where, like, Apple is probably going to have a TV. And, you know, like you said, all these other brands are kind of jumping onto other media, so it's not like this is unheard of. It just seems like that's what everybody's doing. A lot of these technology brands seem to be thinking our brand isn't synonymous with like a single piece of hardware or a certain way that people take in media. You know, our brand, if we do it right, you can apply our brand to anything, and we'll just do it our way. We'll do it in our style, and people will dig it. So, you know, I don't think Nintendo can be, I guess, traditionally kind of hard-headed with video gaming. So,
yeah,
you know,
it's Japanese. So.
Yeah, yeah, right. They're very prideful and stubborn. So, yeah. As a company, but they're very much like, you know, we create family entertainment. We create entertainment. We create games. We don't, you know, for years they kind of distanced from hardcore gaming to their detriment. Because they were all about, like, you know, we're home entertainment, we're family entertainment, we make games and we don't do anything else. And then you kind of see them making small concessions with, oh, okay, well, we'll put a camera in the Game Boy, or okay, it'll connect to the internet, only to update games. Okay, maybe we'll put a little web browser in there while we're at it. It's kind of like begrudgingly going along, but at some point they're just going to have to, like, jump and just catch up on certain things. And it seems like their bread and butter, the handheld, the Game Boy, is going to have to be the first one that really, like, does something radical, because this last one feels like this is like their last breath in this world, this generation, or this type of mobile gaming is kind of done, because they threw everything into it, like all the good ideas that worked up until this second and didn't work.
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely.
So okay, so Peter, I watched about half of it, and you watched all of it. The VGAs, were this last weekend. Pretty good, 2 hours of a lot of trailers and a lot of hawking games and a little bit of award handing out.
Yeah, and a lot of juvenile things.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if we want to get into that, but yeah.
Get into it. No, get into it, because, okay. Like me as a gamer, I'm 31. I've played games for over 20 years, and I'm proud to be a gamer. I'm like openly like into games with everybody I know, everybody I work with.
Mainstream,
but, yeah. Yeah, I'm mainstream, but when I watch the VGAs, I feel like embarrassed, and I don't know if it's like the old man in me or if it's just like the VGAs really are a lot of like fart jokes and just kind of like or just like playing to all these stereotypes of gamers. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of gamers are like that.
No, you're absolutely right. Okay, so you know, when you started playing games 20 years ago, when I started playing games about roughly the same time, it was like, you know, playing games was like, "Oh, okay, you know, that's cool." That's cool. And at the same time now, it's still kind of like that, like, you know, the older folk kind of have that mantra like, oh, gaming is for kids, grow up. But, you know, coming from a family where my mom actually used to work for a vending company who, and, you know, there were, I pretty much grew up around arcade games. So it was not like, in my parents' mind, it was not considered like, you need to grow up, you need to stop playing games. It was kind of like embraced, you know. It was like, this, you know, this stuff can be good for you. It can help you. Like Tetris when you were a kid was great for your kids, you know. It helped them puzzle solve and all that other stuff. So in this generation, as we're growing up, we're like, you know, gaming is getting fully embraced, you know, with the expansion of like Modern Warfare and Battlefield and all these critically acclaimed games and stuff like that that are hitting the mainstream media. VGAs is like a huge step back. Like, what the fuck is teabagging doing on the show?
In the first 10 minutes, too.
They did it later. Like, Modern Warfare, I think, won, like, the best shooter of the year.
Yeah.
And they had this guy dress in fatigues and come out and teabag one of the producers.
Again? So they did that same joke twice.
Yeah, so the guy, like, they, like, pushed him on the ground or something like that, and this guy just crashed over him and teabagged him more than once. Like, he did it once, and then he stood up and then did it again and again. And I'm like, I thought teabagging went away when I left, like, middle school, you know? And that was, like, 12 years ago. So what the hell is going on? And, like, it's just... You're right. It's like VGAs is a huge step back, and it's pretty much like it plays to every single stereotype that you've ever seen in like these movies and television shows where the gamer is like a juvenile child or a fat guy who just rants and blahs and says like stupid stuff, teabagging people. 12 years, like, behind the curve kind of person. And it's like, you got all these hosts that are, you got your Felicia Days and stuff like that. It was just cool. Like,
She definitely
livened it up, made it less geeky. It was more like a joke. It was more like fun and stuff like that, which is fine because that's what games are for. But I don't know. They had this one guy who was like ranting about the VGAs and who gets to choose and stuff. And then they had him arguing with some other guy, and then said, and then in his comeback at the end was like, "You stop this now, or I'll teabag you." And then that's how like the argument ended. And it was so like
teabagging was the theme of the night, I guess.
Yeah, it's the comeback. It was like, "I'll teabag you if you don't shut up." And it's like, really?
Yeah, I feel like the show teabagged me because it was like, because I mean, like, look, okay, so look, I'm not saying video gamers. I'm not saying we as gamers really even like asked for legitimacy or like asked for the world to take us more seriously, but I'm not saying we asked for that, and I'm not saying we need that, but I think as like as a community, we feel like we've evolved past the stuff of like the 90s where if you look at the marketing. Yeah, it's all like if you look at marketing from Sega and to a lesser extent everybody else in the 90s, the early 90s, it was all like extreme. It was all the stereotypes that you mentioned, Peter. It was all like, you know, video games are for kids and those kids are like fringe of society, punkish, you know, troublemakers, and it's all edgy and it's all extreme and it's all fart jokes and it's all this stuff and it's all juvenile. And I feel like we as a community feel like, okay, whether or not that was true back then, we've kind of matured and grown and turned into something else, like a bigger form of entertainment that is more than that. That is actually, it's more serious and mature, if only because of the scale, like the scope of it, because there's so many different types of people who play games. But if you look at the VGAs, it's like watching those commercials like all over again. It's like to them, no, video gaming and gamers have not changed. It's the same type of person. And that's just not right. Yeah. I mean, it's no longer just a bunch of teenagers anymore. Like, those teenagers have kids now who play video games.
Right, yeah. The teenagers back then are now, they're adults now.
Yeah, they have gamers for kids. Yeah, and they're still playing games. So, yeah, I don't know. It was weird. Hey, one of the interesting things that did come out of the VGAs, and, I mean, let's be honest, it's really 2 hours of selling Game of the Year editions and then teasing the next year's, blockbusters, really, at this point, more than anything. There were, some really good trailers that came out. So, were you, what did you think of some of the trailers, like The Last of Us, BioShock, even Transformers?
So Last of Us made me want a PlayStation again.
Yes.
I mean, that game looked pretty awesome. That game looked really good. The Fall of Cybertron, the Transformers Fall of Cybertron, it was good. It's obviously it's a cinematic trailer. Mm-hmm. But it's good at setting, the mood and the story and showing you some tidbits of, some robots that'll be there. I feel like it was, as an overall thing, for people who aren't fans of the Transformers, they're still going to be like, yeah, so what?
Yeah.
I
got you. Yeah.
I mean, it's, for us, it's cool, but sure. At the same time, for people who aren't fans, they're like, okay, all right, well, what's going to make me want to play this game? Last of Us, I knew nothing about the game, and I was like, this game looks awesome. I want to play this game.
Yeah, the only thing I had heard from Last of Us was like, oh, yeah, it's the guys who, the same studio that makes Uncharted, they're making a game, and nobody knows what it's about. And that was like all I knew until I saw that, which was awesome.
And as soon as I saw Naughty Dog, I was like, damn it.
Yeah, because it's going to be a good
game, and it's for PlayStation only. Damn it. And then another one that I really enjoyed was, it didn't sell all that well. It was Alan Wake. There's a new one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
American Nightmare. And I mean, it's going to be an Xbox Live game, and it looks, it's a continuation. It looks like the graphics have gotten better. Alan Wake kind of was, it took 5 years in development, so the graphics wise was a little choppy. It was a little old.
Uh-huh.
So it seems like they kind of, Remedy kind of, updated a little bit, made it a little more, recent.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be, that's another one that I was really excited about.
What kind of game is that? What genre is that? What genre is that game?
It's like Silent Hill sort of.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
So it's like an over the shoulder third person shooter, but at the same time it's like a horror. Like they bill it as a psychological thriller.
Cool.
But it's scary as hell. It scared the crap. I actually, when I played the game, I didn't play it at night because it scared the hell out of me.
Nice. Nice.
I'm a big wuss when it comes to those kinds of things. So yeah, but the game is great. It's a really good game. They had DLCs for free and everything like that. So it was a really good game. BioShock, I never really played the other ones, but this one looks very interesting.
It's an acquired taste. Most gamers, I guess, of the generation after us don't think much of this. They just kind of naturally are able to do first-person shooters. But I think first-person gaming shooters are kind of an acquired taste. You kind of have to adjust to them if you're not used to them. But if you can, the first two BioShocks, and especially the second BioShocks, is amazing. Those games are amazing.
Okay. Yeah, I think I can pretty easily pick that up for like $10 nowadays.
So yeah, they're both like $10 or $15, if that.
Yeah. I guess the Metal Gear was weird.
Metal Gear was anime-tastic. It was awesome. I'm not saying I'm gonna buy the game, and I'm not saying I even thought the trailer was good. I think I agree. It was weird.
It was just kind of like, I understand why they're doing it, but
sure,
they shouldn't attach the Metal Gear name. It seems like a completely it seems like a Dynasty Warriors anime style. Like he's just going around cutting the crap out of stuff. It was just
it's like Fruit Ninja, essentially.
Yeah. It's like a male version of Bayonetta.
Totally.
And it was just is it the same? Is it the same publisher?
I don't know.
No, it's not.
I don't think so. Yeah.
But yeah, that was just a weird trailer. I know it was the end, and it was really awkward, actually. I think it was a Hideo Kojima was the guy who did Metal Gear.
Yeah, Mr.
He was trying to speak, and he cannot speak English very well, and he got nervous more and more, and then he just kind of stuttered around, and it was like very awkward.
Oh dear.
And then this other guy who is producing the new game, who's directing the new game, was just standing there like looking at him.
And then he teabagged him.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened. And then he pushed him over and teabagged him.
Awesome.
I don't think that trailer deserved to be the last trailer of the show.
There were trailers. I guess what the if the BioShock trailer had been better, it would have been a better candidate because people are crazy for BioShock. Or if The Last of Us had been like a multi-platform game, it probably would have been it. Yeah. I would think.
Or if people still cared about Command & Conquer, it would have been.
Which they don't. I don't think so.
I feel like Command & Conquer only had like a 10-second thing, and all it was Command & Conquer 2, and then it just like flashed on the screen, and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
I might have tuned out because of LL Cool J, but I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I think at the end of the... You know it's a bad trailer when like everybody's reaction after the trailer is kind of like, oh, really? Huh, okay. You know, it's not like... Yeah, they're like, oh, wow, okay, sure, yeah, okay. But I think for a lot of those trailers, well, like even like The Last of Us, I think people were like hype, like right at the beginning of the trailer. Like, you know, they're like, oh, this is going to be good. What is this?
Yeah.
But some of them were kind of, you know, kind of duds. You're right about the Transformers trailer. So like stepping back as and looking at it from someone who doesn't keep up with Transformers and doesn't follow the stuff, I guess I wonder if like the biggest reaction anybody got out of that trailer was like, oh wow, it's the dinosaur guy again. I had him.
Yeah.
I might still have him. You know, that kind of thing.
And if you blinked, you would have missed the Decepticon combiner.
Yeah.
And you would have seen the helicopter part, and you were like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, no, I bet you people were like, oh, that's Devastator, right? Or it's the construction guy.
Yeah.
It was not. Yeah, right. It wasn't. But I digress. But because that's the only combiner ever for most people.
Right.
Man, so weird. And that's also probably like an awesome like face off of different geeks when, you know, they're like somebody if you're both at the award show and you're both sitting there and the guy next to you is really excited about the Transformers thing because he's into Transformers, the guy next to him who is, I guess, a geek of a different flavor who's into StarCraft, better not give him shit. Do not give him shit for knowing who Bruticus is.
Yeah,
we're all nerds together, baby. okay, so Peter, the last thing I want to mention before we wrap up the show is GamePro has really kind of called it a day. GamePro has ended, and I say that because GamePro.com is no more. GamePro.com in the last couple weeks was absorbed into PC World and has become little more than a page of video game news for PCWorld.com, which is really sad. So, you know, EGM faded away and is now making a comeback as kind of a hybrid magazine / digital zine. And now GamePro like is gone.
Quarterly magazine, right?
Like, yeah, it's not a monthly. So don't ask them what EGM stands for. Because it doesn't count anymore.
EGQ.
But it's EGM asterisk.
Right.
Go down. Yeah. Bottom of the page. But it is sad to see like GamePro, which was for my money more fun than any of the other certainly between like its main rival EGM back in the day in the late 80s and early 90s, mid 90s. GamePro was way more fun. way more cheeky about video gaming, for better or worse. EGM was a little bit more kind of, you know, straight, taking it straight chin up, and kind of treating it as an industry and all that good stuff. GamePro really looked at it as games. So it's sad to see him go. You know what I mean, man? It's
Yeah, I can understand that. I was not a huge, like, you know, I didn't really go to the wall and, like, subscribe to all these video game magazines. But I can understand. It is kind of sad to see, like, you know, the way the industry is trending. And it is kind of sad. Like, GamePro used to be huge, and now it's just a sub-subsection of PC world.
It's like, when you search for
software games.
I know, right? Like, yeah, when you search for video games on PCWorld.com, you might get the GamePro page, if you're lucky. Oh, it might be, like, top of the results. I don't know. Anyway, I just had to say something. So, rest in peace, GamePro. Hey, Peter, good show. Good show. Yeah. So, we are looking forward to a lot of good games next year. You think you're going to get a PlayStation 3 because of The Last of Us?
If they drop the price, John.
Maybe. They probably will, let's be honest. I bet you.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, next year, the PlayStation 3's got to be like $199 at some point.
Yeah.
That's
the thing that's holding me back, you know? It's just like, Sony, if you drop the price a little bit more, I mean, it's a really high entry fee, and I don't know if I really want to jump on that wagon. So
wait a minute, is the PlayStation 3 $200 bucks? I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's not.
I think it's, let me see here.
Let's see. Let's go shopping before we wrap up
the
show.
Rock the wiki real quick. It's $250 to start off for 160 gig. Oh, my God.
No. No, no, no.
No way.
I think you can get a Slim, I think, on some online stores for about $200 bucks, but it should, to your point, it should be like priced with the Xbox at this point, shouldn't it?
It should, you know. Why am I understand you need to install a lot of the games and stuff, but 160 gigs for $300, can't you just give me like an 80 gig hard drive for like $100, you know, $200? I would gladly go for that, but I definitely have to wait. The price of the barrier to entry is still quite high. So.
Even to play a zombie game starring Juno. Even right. That. Okay. Well, we'll see about that. We'll see about that next year. Until then, this is, I think, the last show. No, second to last show of the year. Until the last show of the year, which will be New Soundwave 110. We'll see you guys next time. Have a good week and keep on gaming.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.